Welcome to the SearchITChannel.com Partner News Podcast for the week ending July 18th, 2008. This is Elaine Halm, Associate Features Editor.
And newswriter Colin Steele.
Today we've got some great segments for you. We're going to be discussing the firing of VMware CEO Diane Greene. And we're going to be joined by this week's guest speaker, analyst Chris Wolfe from the Burton Group. And now we're being joined by senior newswriter Rivka Little.
Hi.
Hi, Rivka. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this VMware decision and what's going on with that?
Last week, the board of directors of VMware first announced that Diane Greene, CEO, would be leaving, and then later in the day admitted that, in fact, they had pushed her out or offered her a lesser job because they did not believe that she had the, quote, operational experience to run VMware.
Rivka, before you go any further, I just had a question about that. She was the co-founder of the company and had ran it since its inception. What kind of operational experience were they looking for that they weren't getting?
You know, she did co-found the company with her husband, and not only did she co-found the company, but she's basically one of the founders of virtualization. And the way that Joe Tucci, who's the chairman and also the CEO of EMC, which owns VMware, put it, was that VMware is having heavier competition, needs to go further in the market, needs to go in new directions, and she wasn't prepared to take that on. And the truth is that he is concerned about poor financial performance and more than anything concerned about taking on Microsoft, since Microsoft is really just now targeting this market.
I noticed that at least one of the partners that you talked to on the record had brought up, you know, some friction between Joe and Diane. How much do you think that played into it?
I think it played a huge part in it, a huge part. I really doubt that if she didn't already have the operational experience, she couldn't gain it. But it's long been known that there is a sour relationship between the two of them. One guy said to me, the bottom line is there's such a personality and culture difference between these two leaders that from the day EMC picked up VMware, it's been a problem.
Some partners sing VMware's praises and say that they're a great vendor to work for, and others say there are problems, and those problems are getting worse, especially as, you know, VMware tries to branch out into new areas of virtualization and fill gaps that their partners have been filling up to this point. Do you see any shift in how VMware is going to act towards the channel with a new chief in place?
Well, I think it's at this point hard to tell, and I think that's mainly the biggest concern right now is that partners don't know how the company is going to react. And, you know, as one partner said, we just really hope that they get more focused and not, you know, further diversified, because going in all these different directions has been a problem for the partners. And partners are just really keeping an eye on what will happen and hoping that it works out for the best for them.
Thanks so much for joining us, Rivka.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And now we're being joined by analyst Chris Wolfe from the Burton Group. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thanks, Elaine. Glad to be here.
I guess the first question I wanted to ask you was, Joe Tucci and the VMware board of directors passed this off as a business decision, and I think the exact quote was she was fired for a lack of operational experience. How much of this was business related and how much of this had a personal underpinnings to it?
I'm not quite sure about personal underpinnings. I do think the decision was business related from my experience, and the reason for that is VMware's threat is right in front of their faces now, and that's Microsoft. And if VMware wants to succeed and actually beat Microsoft long term, VMware has to act like a desperate company, and they have to do bold moves. And I consider this to be one of those bold moves. Otherwise, they're going to suffer a similar fate that other vendors have that have been in Microsoft's crosshairs.
Looking at Microsoft's entry into the market, one of the things that I've heard from VMware and other observers about the keys to VMware's success is, you know, moving just beyond the hypervisor and coming up with additional products and services related to virtualization that will differentiate themselves from Microsoft as Microsoft just begins to introduce their hypervisor. Is that a good strategy for VMware, and how will Diane's successor be able to push that forward?
Microsoft historically has been able to dominate the market because of the integration it's been able to offer throughout its application stack. And it's no secret for Microsoft that they're attempting to do the same thing with Hyper-V. They have a very good management story going right now with their System Center platform. And Microsoft has always been very keen to tie tie in any its infrastructure services to the applications themselves. And even before Diane had left, you'd been seeing quite a bit of changes with VMware messaging, more focused towards getting closer to the application. And I think moving forward, the wheels were already in place for that to happen. I think you're going to see more of that. The Beehive acquisition is a good indication of that. And also strategically, there's a few things I think that VMware would love to see happen, and they'd love to see the OS become much more marginalized than it is today, and getting applications more towards the cloud infrastructure, I think, is going to help them, and I think that is part of the that strategy is part of the leadership change. And the more VMware can take Microsoft's relevance away from the market, and again, that comes from doing things like marginalizing the OS as well as the desktop and really focusing towards the application, the more that they can do that and kind of force organizations' hands, which they have been in terms of relying on the integration of Microsoft components, which has worked very well for a long time, I think strategically that can help VMware long-term. And short-term, I see VMware as doing more to shore up its relationships with many of the vendors in the enterprise management space. It's far too late in the game for VMware to develop a product to compete head-to-head with Microsoft in enterprise systems management. But they can strengthen relationships with vendors such as CA, IBM, HP, and BMC to take on Microsoft with that regard.
One of the issues that's come up as VMware branches out, and you and I have talked about this in the past, is VMware is getting into areas and coming up with products and services that a lot of their channel partners and ISV partners have already kind of taken over and been succeeding at so far. Is there going to be more conflict with their partners in the future?
I would say yes and no. In the large enterprise space, I think the answer to that is no. I think where you see VMware adding value is mainly to provide just enough value for the SMB market, where they do want to go out and purchase a soup-to-nuts solution. It's certainly something that Microsoft is doing. And I think that if they're as long as they're careful, they're going to be okay. But still, you know, they are going to offend some vendors there. There are vendors that are doing very specific products that are targeted to the SMB market, and those vendors need to really carefully evaluate long-term where they're going to be, because I think the assumption is right. VMware is going to add some value to the hypervisor, especially to help them in mid-market organizations.
From your perspective, what's been VMware's overall reputation in the channel? Are they a good company to work with, or have they been a good company to work with under Diane, and do you foresee any change there one way or the other with the new leadership taking over?
Yeah, I think they've had a good thing going in the channel. I personally don't think that they've been aggressive enough, and they've left the door open for Microsoft and Citrix. I think that was a mistake. I think they should have, if VMware gets one large complaint in the channel, it's often the price of its software. So that has always been a knock against VMware, and when VMware didn't have competition, that was okay. But the result of waiting to have a very cost-effective mid-market solution is that some organizations just waited on virtualizing, period, and now that they're considering it, they have choices. If VMware does want to take some of those opportunities away from Microsoft or Citrix, they are going to have to look at aggressively dropping their prices in order to do so.
Is this still going to be a profitable vendor to work with for partners who are used to being able to charge what they've been charging for VMware products as prices have to go down to compete with Microsoft and Citrix?
I think it still will be, because VMware is going to have to lower the price of its core hypervisor. But really the value that VMware brings and where they receive most of their revenues is from the added virtual infrastructure services, and that's things like high availability and their vMotion, et cetera. So they will still be able to make significant dollars on that.
Chris Wolf, Senior Analyst from the Burton Group, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's all the time that we have for this week, but before we go, wanted to let everybody know what to expect next week. We're going to be talking about some uproar in the Symantec channel about the possibility of giving their most valuable and largest customers the chance to go direct and what that means for partners. And we'll also be rejoined by Senior News Editor Barb Darrow, who was off this week on vacation.
You can find the links to the stories we discussed below on the page. To download this podcast and other past ones, check out searchitchannel.com/download. Be sure to use searchitchannel.com for all of your IT channel professional needs. This has been Elaine Hom
and Colin Steele.
Thanks for joining us.